Praise the Lord, everyone. You can be seated tonight. Finally getting some beautiful spring weather. Beautiful today. Yesterday was beautiful. And looking so forward to just having consistent good weather. We've been up at camp for the last few weeks, and a few nights we went to bed and it was 60, 62 degrees, and in the middle of the night the wind would pick up and you wake up the next morning, it's 34. It's like, what happened? But I want to preach to you tonight on a subject, and it's a bit more of a soul-searching type subject tonight. I want to speak on the topic, clean house, clean heart. Clean house, clean heart. Reading from Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed, and I learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. This past weekend here at Calvary Gospel Church, we've had some great church. And I believe that we had 8 or 9 baptized and or filled with the Holy Ghost last weekend. We had a great service Sunday night. It was just a great night of just powerful worship and praise. And our music ministry had such a great, as Pastor Phil had said, had a powerful music workshop here on Monday night. And I'd like to thank all of the host families that opened up their homes to all of the students from Urshan College. We had a great time of just friendship and fellowship. I appreciate our praise and worship team as well as our altar teams. We've started a new process in our pre-service prayer time. At 20 minutes to, we're meeting with our ministry team, which is whoever will be speaking for that night. We have our worship team, we have our altar team, and we have our prayer team. And we all assemble in the library. We go over the schedule, and we go over what we feel that God is looking to accomplish through us as individuals. And I know that over the past few weeks and the past few months here at Calvary Gospel Church, we've had a very busy schedule, and God is moving in many areas of our church and in many ministries within this church. And at times it has been a struggle for me just to keep up as to what all is going on, as well as keeping up with the day-to-day operations of what goes on here every day at the church. And we have 7 preaching points all over the city as well as our county, and we're busy. And this weekend, we're having our very first Every Conference. We've been promoting this before the congregation. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to learning on how to take and win those of different cultures, different languages, all of those various barriers, how to take and win them. But we have a team of men and women that are up at camp, even as we speak, working on getting some of the much-needed projects done up there at camp. And all of this going on makes you very, very busy. And I'm excited about our camp. How many of you are going to family camp this year? And if you're going to camp this year, we've made a number of improvements, and I'm so very appreciative and so very thankful for the men and the women from this congregation that have gone up and have made a tremendous impact on our campgrounds there in Shawano. And Last weekend on Saturday, we had a day of spring cleaning, trying to get some work done before summer sets in and before our Every Conference. And if we're not careful, it's times like these that we can become so distracted and we can begin to allow the clutter of our past or the clutter of past problems and situations. And as we get busier, we pick up that clutter along the way, and it begins to make its way back into our lives. And it's easy at times to allow stuff to just get in the way of what God has for us, as well as where God wishes to take us. And I've said this before, sometimes we can be so busy doing the work of God that we miss the will of God. And we have to make sure that we are always in the will of God. And we live in a world that is pulling at us in so very, very many ways. It's pulling at our families. It's pulling at our children. And it seems that each and every new day, there's a new foe that is coming against society and against the church, and we face this new foe or these new foes that come against us. If we're not careful, we can become so bogged down, we can become so caught up. I've been looking into my own life very closely lately, and I do believe that if I'm going to take and preach a message to you, I first need to make sure that I have preached that or living that myself. And as I begin to search through my own life and through my own busyness and my own schedule and my own clutter, I've decided that the next fast that we do is not going to be a food fast. It's going to be a fast where we declutter our lives of things that are unnecessary. Get rid of some of those things that we think we have to have in order to function as an individual. We can fill ourselves up with so much stuff. And things get all cluttered up, it seems, overnight. We just had the building cleaned last week, and we did such a great job of cleaning the interior of the building and the grounds, and yet there's weeds that are still coming up, and there's still dirt on the floors and all of this kind of stuff. But you see, it just didn't happen overnight. It's gradual over time. A change, a little here and a little there. And my wife and I, we have a spare bedroom at our home. And at one time, it actually was a bedroom. It had a bed in it. It had a dresser in it. It had a nice little, I don't know what they call them, an armoire. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Yeah, one of those things in there. You'd open it up. It was nice cherry, nice wood, and it had a computer in it, and the room was organized, over time you go in there now, and even though it's somewhat organized, there is not enough room to put a bed in the room. Now when I look at all of that, all of the stuff that's in that room has value. That's why we keep it. But it just amazes me at how fast that our house can get all full of clutter. And as I said, this past weekend here at Calvary Gospel Church, we had spring cleaning. We had a big dumpster put out in the parking lot, and I believe it's our fourth or fifth dumpster in the past year that we have had in the parking lot. And they're 20, 30-yard dumpsters, and they're full of junk. And I keep asking myself, where does this all come from? It's like, do people bring stuff in their purses and diaper bags and hide it out? Here at church, it's like, I want to get rid of these candlesticks, so let's take them to church. Put them in the diaper bag and just slip them in the coat room. They'll get rid of it. How do we end up with so much stuff? We have gallons of water. Jugs just full of stale water. Why? Throw it away. We have buckets just full of sand. Now, I'm sure at one time they had a use, but why do we keep around a bucket full of sand? Wedding stuff. We have all kinds of weddings here. And I love to have weddings. I'm not against weddings. But it seems like after every wedding, everybody wants to donate everything to the church so nobody has to take anything home. We have a garage out there full of wedding stuff. We could have enough. We could have our own wedding show. And we have old chairs. Why keep a broken chair? You ever wonder that? You have a chair at home, it's broken, and it's been broken for 12, 15 years. Why keep around a broken chair? We began to count. We found an old adding machine, an old slide machine, an old movie projector, plastic plates, knives, and forks. And we had over 5,000 styrofoam cups at one point. 5,000 styrofoam cups. Now, why do we need to keep buying styrofoam cups when we have 5,000 of them? But see, it's just, we just can't, somebody can't find cups. Let's go buy some more. Buy another box of 1,000. You lose that box. It gets buried in the clutter, and it just keeps going on. We accumulate stuff. We accumulate all of this debris and all of this junk over time. And it's an unfortunate fact of life, I've come to the conclusion of, that things just simply get cluttered, they get clogged up, and they get congested. And through that process of cluttering and clogging and congesting, an operation that is supposed to work smooth gets all plugged up. We look at our bodies, and as we grow older, I'm finding out as I get a little bit older that things tend to change a little bit in your body. I mean, I working up there at camp and such, and after pouring 42 yards of concrete and shoveling some 120,000 pounds of gravel in a few days, I mean, listen, things don't just function. I kneel down and I'm like, Lord, I can't even hardly get up right now. I got to figure out another way to get up. And one of the younger guys had come over and say, man, I'd love to help you, but I'm afraid that if I pull you up, I'm going to fall over. We're both going to be laying there, get buried in concrete. But you know, our systems break down. Our bodies begin to break down. And our blood veins, stuff begins to build up inside our blood veins and restricts the flow of blood. And that's why when you get into 45, 50, you know, you have to go in and your arteries need that little stent put in them because things get plugged up. Things get clogged up. When you look at the ocean and seagoing vessels, we've been recently on a few trips to the Great Lakes, and they have all the big fishing boats, and they have all the big ships out there. And I was amazed to find that one of those big, huge tankers that in 1 year's time can accumulate over 5 tons of barnacles growing on the sides of those big, huge ships. And we went to a museum in the Mississippi River Museum down in Dubuque, Iowa with Glenn and Kitty Rossing and with Rick and Linda Wells on one of our trips. And they had a ship there, a barge that was specially designed to dredge the river. And this was a functional ship up until a few years back. And they mothballed it and put it on display. But they go through and they would take and they would dredge the bottom of the river because the river gets plugged up with all kinds of junk and all kinds of debris. What I'm talking about tonight is not just church attics. I'm not just talking about church garages or perhaps your two-car garage or three-car garage. You can now barely fit one car in it. We have some neighbors down the street, and for all the outside of their home looks beautiful, but they open up their garage door, and I'm just like amazed. They got three-car garage, and there's not enough room to even fit one vehicle in it. Every fall, you see stuff scattered all over the front yard. They're reorganizing everything so they can fit the car in for the winter. But you see, I'm not really talking about tonight. I'm not talking about spare bedrooms and plugged rivers and bad air conditioning and heating systems and ships and rivers and stuff. I'm really talking about our lives. Our lives. Our spiritual lives. And the whole system, sometimes we can allow clutter to come into our lives and allow things that could be dirty, that could be smelly, it could be time consuming, And we have to go in there and we have to take and we have to clean that out. And lately we've been talking a lot about stepping into a new dimension in Jesus Christ and how we wish and desire to go into greater heights with God and how we desire to have God use us in the power of the supernatural. Our theme this year, we've chosen a theme of expect. And I've spoken recently on keeping ourselves focused and keeping our eyes on Jesus. And I've talked about overcoming this world and putting our past behind and moving on in Jesus. But we need to be aware, church, of just some very simple, the small, the little things that we allow to creep back into our lives. And if we're not careful, we can lose all the ground that we have gained. Because over time, a little bit here and a little bit there, we allow our lives to become cluttered just like our garage and our spare bedroom and our basement. We allow our lives to become cluttered with the debris of sin. And our hearts and our minds become encrusted with the barnacles of ungodly beliefs and attitudes. And all of that will hinder our relationship with God. And it will hinder our relationship with one another. It will hinder our relationship with our families, with our children, with our pastor. It will hinder our relationship, most importantly, with God. And it hinders our ability to experience the joy and the peace and the power that we need to have and possess in our Christian life. So how can we prevent this from happening, and when does this happen? How do we clean out the muck and the mire that our fellowship with God and with one another, so that we'll be free and unobstructed, so we can allow the presence of God to flow freely in our lives every day and every time we come to church, so that we can enjoy that kind of abundant life that Jesus Christ intends for his church to have. The first point I'd like to make is that sin, if we're not careful, it will gradually infiltrate our lives, thus gumming up the works. And understand one thing, it's all common in all of us. It's not something that any one of us is immune to. We are all, the scripture tells us that we are all sinners. We have all sinned and we have come short of the glory of God. Now, I'm not talking about just massive, gross type of sins. I'm talking about those sins that we allow back in that begin to just clutter up our lives. You see, we don't just wake up one day and look at a raunchy type picture and go out and have an affair on our wives. See, what happens is things begin to build up inside of us just a little bit at a time. Just as that room that once was a nice, clean bedroom is now all cluttered with all kinds of stuff. And none of us are immune. And we need to be concerned with the matters of sin and the matters of holiness in our lives. The writer of Proverbs in Proverbs 4:23 tells us, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. We have to be so careful that we guard our heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The psalmist declares in Psalms 141:3-4, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil. Paul writes to the church in 1 Corinthians, and church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 10:11 through 14. Now all these things happened upon them for ensamples or examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth. This is kind of a hard one to swallow. This is kind of one that sometimes we trip over. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that ye are able, but will be with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Verse 12 again, therefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepeth, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You see, these scriptures are telling us what we need to give attention to for the quality of our spiritual lives. We need to consider carefully the consistency of our obedience and our devotion to Jesus Christ. Otherwise, over time, the world will conform us to its way of thinking and to its way of speaking and its way of acting. It will happen if we're not careful. In our own lives, it's just so small, it's the simple. If we're not careful, ungodly habits and attitudes will begin to creep back in. You see, when someone falls away from walking with Jesus Christ, it's usually a gradual process. Little by little, over time, their taste for spiritual things diminish. They lose their savor for holiness. Holiness no longer becomes an issue for them. Their zest for knowing God, so that kind of spiritual activities which used to give them pleasure now seem dull and uninterested. That's why you can always generally tell when someone begins to walk away from God, their church attendance becomes sporadic. It's important that you come to church. That's why we have church. We need to assemble ourselves together. Even so much, it doesn't say assemble yourselves together, but as you get closer to the rapture, you can skip a few services. It says even as you see the day approaching, that means we need to assemble ourselves together more. As the pressures of the world become stronger, we need to be together more often. What used to be a blessing now seems to become a burden. Prayer and Bible reading become less frequent. Their church attendance slips, and they no longer care to spend time with their brothers and their sisters in the Lord, and they isolate themselves. Sometimes I'm amazed at just how many people who have all sorts of issues going on in their lives and in their families, they just simply don't pray. They don't pray. God is not their focus. Their focus, all of their focus is on their problems. All of their focus is on the clutter. And when it all goes south, and as the world begins to seduce them and their tolerance for impurity and immoral things in their own heart and their own mind and in the way that they act and conduct themselves begins to increase, they seem to be more concerned about things in the world than they are in things in the church. And they come to church, and the preacher's always harping at them. And I don't know why, you know, why can't the preacher just preach a good, happy, make-me-feel-good message? I read a very interesting article just a few days ago on happy churches and how that the problem with happy churches. Now, understand what they're talking about with happy churches. They're not talking about the joy of the Holy Ghost here. They're talking about preaching and worship and everything that just makes me feel happy. We don't want to talk about our problems. We don't want to address sin. We don't want to talk about the R word, repent. repentance. We don't want to talk about any of that. It's just all just happy, feel good. Let's go out and have some coffee afterwards type of church. But you see, that's the kind of attitude that is creeping in all over the churches. And but it amazes me that sometimes as preaching, when you preach and you preach about sin and you preach about repentance, people feel like that you're harping at them and they walk away from God, and they always, I don't understand this, why the church always gets the blame for that. Why, when people backslide, do they always blame the church? Ever wonder that? I just scratch my head sometimes, because when I was backslidden, I knew why I was backslidden. I was backslidden because I didn't care anymore. It wasn't Brother and Sister Brown's fault that I didn't care. It wasn't Mark Nikielski's fault because I didn't read my Bible. And how can you blame the church because of your actions? You see, a person doesn't change from being absolutely committed to Jesus Christ on Monday to being lukewarm and indifferent on Tuesday. It's a long process, a period of time, which they begin making small compromises. They begin to take that little bit of clutter that comes into their lives, and they begin to put it in their room, begin to put it in their heart. And they begin making small compromises with sin in the privacy of their own heart. And this is where it's so difficult at times, because we can put clutter in our own heart that nobody else can see. You see, I can look out across this congregation and I can't see the sin in your life. Sometimes I can see the results of that sin. Sometimes I can actually feel the attitude of that sin. But I don't come in here, and God doesn't just give me this X-ray vision. As I look across, I can see the sin and everybody's life. I don't have that ability to do that. But you see, we take, in the privacy of our own hearts, we begin to make those small compromises. And after a period of time, our spiritual life slowly begins to wither away. You see, the process of decline, it's subtle, and it's oftentimes it's barely even noticeable. It's sometimes so barely even noticeable that we as an individual don't even pick up on the slow decline that we are in. That is what makes it all that more deceptive. Is that many people are able to keep up an outward appearance of religion, even while they hold that God, even while that God has a little bit of hold in their heart, but they're weakening day by day, week by week, month by month. We read in our opening text, we read about Solomon and his observations as he wrote there in Proverbs 24, I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. You see, and as he walks past this, he's looking out over this once beautiful field. He's looking out over this once well-manicured vineyard. But there's a man that now seemingly lacks judgment. He's become lazy. He's become lackadaisical. He doesn't care about it as much as he used to. And the thorns had come up everywhere, and the ground was covered with weeds. And the wall that once protected his investment, protected what he was so proud of, the wall was now in ruins. And I applied my heart to what I observed, and I learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. A little clutter, a little here, a little there. A little distraction here, a little distraction there. A little bypass here, a little change there. And before you know it, everything is beyond repair. Thus Solomon's reflecting on how the lack of care and attention will result in decay. And as we look at our own lives and we look at our own hearts, we have to pay close attention to where we are, not just when we're in church, but where we are every day of our life. You see, what is true in the physical realm is also true in the spiritual realm. A field doesn't fill up with weeds overnight, nor does a stone wall suddenly just fall into disrepair. Decay is a gradual process, and sin is a gradual process. All of it takes is time, combined with neglect, complacency, just a general lack of watchfulness. And before we realize it, our spiritual life is so full of thorns, so grown up with weeds, and our relationship with God and the wall of protection that once protected us now lies in ruins. And the real danger is that by the time we wake up to what is happening, by the time we realize what is really going on, by the time we get to that point, most of us, we have become too weak, or we've become too simply just too complacent, that we've lost the desire to overcome. But you see, God has given us, He has given us the power of the Holy Ghost. He has given us, I mean, if we have repented of our sins, we've spoken in tongues, we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, we've been baptized. I mean, one of the greatest weapons that we have as a Christian is our Holy Ghost. And yet we seemingly seem to use it so little. The Holy Ghost, understand, is more than just speaking in tongues. God has given us the Holy Ghost for the very purpose, so that it may show us and shine in our lives when something comes, when those weeds begin to grow up, the Holy Ghost pricks our hearts and says, you need to get a little bit of spiritual Roundup and mix it up. You need to start getting out there around your yard, and you need to start spraying. You got some weeds and some thorns growing up. The wall that protects your home, the wall that protects your vineyard, is falling down. You need to mix up a little Holy Ghost mortar. You need to get out there and you need to apply yourself, and you need to start doing a little bit of patchwork. Start fixing this thing up. But you see, God is, He's given it. He's given us the Holy Ghost to teach us. To teach us. I dare challenge some of you here tonight. When is the last time you have spoken in tongues? Spoken in tongues with power and authority in your life. When is the last time you've exercised that power and authority that God has given you? He's given it to us to teach us, to enlighten us, and when necessary, to convict us from the sin that we allow and the clutter that we allow into our lives. It lets us know when things have gone wrong, or when we are in the process of going wrong. It's a check and balance system that God has given us. We need to open our eyes so that we can see all the debris in our lives and what needs to be discarded. We need to bring out the eyes of the Holy Ghost and say, what is it, God, that I need to get rid of? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the ways of everlasting. So many times we hate our flesh. Our flesh hates to ask God to show us what's wrong with us. Listen here tonight. Asking God to reveal your sin is something that we don't like to face. We don't like to get on our knees and say, God, show me. show me the wicked ways that are in my heart. We don't like to face that. We don't like to ask God to shine down on us and show us all of the gunk and the garbage that we've allowed to clutter our lives. It's a hard thing to do. That's why facing our sin is something that most of us, we try to avoid. And that's part of our problem. You see, so very often God sends messengers into our lives to speak about sin. That may be in the form of a pastor, it may be form of a husband or a wife, or maybe a friend or an elder. It could even be in a book. It can be the words to a song as we're driving down the road and we hear the words to a song and we break out into tears because we feel conviction. All of this is God trying to get through to us, trying to get through to our stubborn flesh. But so many times we refuse to listen to the word of correction. We like to change the subject. Oh, I became good at this. We like to change the subject. We like to attack the messenger. We like to just leave the room. Get out of there. And if that doesn't work and we deny the sin or we take and we redefine the sin that we're involved in and we begin to try to rationalize it. And if that fails, we rename the sin. Give it another name. To make it seem less sinful. Society has even taken sins now that are an abomination to God, and society makes them as something as it was something that was virtuous. That's how twisted and warped our world is today. We come up with all kinds of pleasant sounding euthanisms. You know, gossip just becomes, well, I'm just sharing my concerns. Understand, Pastor, I got a concern. I'm just sharing that concern. Sometimes we're greedy. You know, it's always easy when someone needs 10 bucks to have them just point them to somebody else. Greedy becomes thriftiness. Well, we're a thrifty family. There's nothing wrong with being thrifty, but there's something wrong with being greedy. Pride? Oh, no, I'm not prideful. I have just very high self-esteem. I have a high level of confidence in myself. See how we rename these things? Lying? Oh, boy, does he have a vivid imagination, that boy. He's lying! You know he's lying. Call it what it is. A harsh attitude. A critical attitude. Well, I just have high standards, understand. I have high standards, and I'm not going to change those standards. You see, we must be willing to let God show us and reveal to us our sin. We have to be sincere. You see, if we're going to clean out our hearts, if we're going to get rid of all that clutter that's grown up in there, we got to understand one thing, that when we go before God, when God reveals this to us and we go before Him, God doesn't look down at us like we're a little, one of those little Asian beetles that are such a pain. God doesn't look down at us like we're some little Asian beetle crawling around on the ground and go, oh, yeah. I got them now. They'll never do that sin again. Is that how God treats us? Is that how He does it? That's how sometimes our minds think that God does it. For years, I thought God was just mean, intolerable, and hated me. That wasn't God's thoughts. That was my thoughts. That was thoughts I allowed the enemy to vividly stress and pressure and put that in my mind to where that, you know, I'm just worthless. But you see, God, He's not that way. Understand one, God is a forgiving God. He forgives. He's loving. And He's so loving that He's willing to take and actually reveal to us the sins that we have in our lives and the things that we're struggling with. When we look at how did Jesus deal with his disciples? When Jesus was getting ready to leave the earth, he was preparing, getting his disciples prepared for his ascension. Jesus, we read in the book of John, he says, I have much more to say to you. Jesus is telling them, listen, guys, my time has come. I've got to leave. But understand one thing. I got a whole lot more that I want to say to you. But it's a whole lot more than what you can handle right now at this moment. But he says, the Spirit of truth is going to come. The Holy Ghost is going to come. There's a power that I'm going to take, and it's going to come. And that power, it will guide you. It will lead you. It will direct you into all truth. You see, Jesus, he didn't just take and just pile everything on his disciples all at one time and said, Peter, this is all of your problems. This is all of your mess. This is all of the sins and all the clutter, and here it is. Plom. Just pile it on all at one time. No. Jesus, he gave them only as much as they could comprehend and accept. Given time. That's how much Jesus Christ loves us. He's going to come to us and he's going to say, you know what, you got some issues. There's some clutter in there, Pastor Thomas. We got some clutter going on here. Maybe if you took and just got rid of a little of this clutter in this corner, and maybe took a little of this and shifted it around a little bit, and before we know it, we got a good, nice, clean heart. Sometimes we think God's just going to come in like a steamroller, like a bulldozer. You see, on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Ghost, power within us. I love this. What is to do what? To reveal more of God to us and to reveal more about ourselves and our sin. This is awesome. Little by little, he reveals to us our sin and our need to repentance. You see, understand one thing tonight, church, that God is totally and he's fully aware of all of the flaws and all of the faults of Calvary Gospel Church. Not just Calvary Gospel Church, but every church, every person, every individual. God knows. He knows what my flaws are. He knows what my faults are. You know? He loves us in spite of our failures. And this, God, you know, God created our flesh. Did you know that? God created our flesh. God created us in our fleshly bodies. And he understands the weaknesses of this body. Yet in spite of that, in spite of all of that, he looks down and he says, you know what? I'm going to forgive you. And I'm going to love you. In spite of all of that. I just think that is so awesome. So incredible that God would look down and say, you know what? I don't care what you've done. I don't care how much clutter. I don't care how much junk. No matter what I find in my heart, I know with the right attitude and the right spirit that I'm covered. There's no possibility of discovering something in my heart that will cause God to just, God looks down. God doesn't just look down, and I know I'm using people's names tonight, and I hope this is okay. He doesn't look down at John Repkin and say, boy, John, you know what, I saw something in you today. Boy, I don't know if I like that or not. So you know what? I'm going to yank that Holy Ghost right out of you. Just like a yo-yo. Psh, boom, it's gone. And all of a sudden, poor Brother John is just there. Man, he's got no Holy Ghost. He's got no nothing. Is that how God works? No. God doesn't just come in and just yank it out. He doesn't just come in and just revoke your salvation. You know, like a big old stamp, revoked. He doesn't come in and say, oh, you sinned today. Boom, your salvation's gone. No. No. He doesn't go back on his promises. Brother Uselman and I had lunch today and we talked about this. We talked about Romans 8:1. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of Jesus Christ. I may have problems with my flesh. I may have problems with clutter in my life. But there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Nothing I can learn about myself can alter in any way my relationship with God, because all of my sins, past, present, and future, have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. If I'm repentant of my sins, if I go to Him and say, God, forgive me, He is willing and just to forgive. David wrote in his 32nd Psalm, blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him. I thank God tonight that I am blessed. I am blessed. So, do we really need the Holy Ghost to reveal our sin in us? Yes, we do. Because we have great ability for deceiving ourselves. You see, I can't trust my heart to tell me the truth when I and my own heart is a subject of the investigation. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. In our own minds, we're always going to put ourselves in the best possible light. Just as we can be surrounded by the clutter in our own home and not even notice it. So we need God's help to see the clutter and debris in our own lives. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, we can see ourselves from God's point of view. We can see what God sees, and then we can change. You see, about every bathroom that you go into, there's one thing that just about every bathroom I've ever been into has. That's a mirror hanging on the wall. I go into my office. I have a 3/4 length mirror in my office, and I can stand in front of that mirror and it gives me a direct reflection of what that mirror sees. You see, that mirror, it cannot lie. What it reflects is exactly what it sees. And it would be foolish on my part and be foolish on your part to decide that since I don't approve of what I'm looking at in the mirror, I'm just going to ignore that mirror. I could come in here, my hair could be messed up, my tie could be on crooked, my collar would be out of place. And yet so many times, so many of us do, when the Holy Spirit holds that mirror of God's Word up in our life, we hear a sermon that touches on an area of our life that we need to change, and yet they refuse to accept the reflection that they see, and they close their Bibles and they walk out of church at the end of service completely denying what God is trying to say to them. And if our musicians can come, and if we can stand to our feet tonight, church, you see, I look at where we started in January and February and March. Here we are in June already. End of May. June will be here. Just a few weeks. And I look at life, and I look at my life. And Maybe I'm just looking at things differently. I don't know. I've asked God many times, Lord, you know why? Sometimes, why am I preaching this tonight, Lord? You see, I really believe that God is trying so desperately hard to help His church and to prod us and to help us never to remember that we cannot get where God wants us to go if we keep going back to where we came from. You know, and you say, well, you know, I'm miles from where I was. I'm miles ahead. Some of you are. Some of you have allowed life to just creep back up on you. And all of the gain that was gained. Now look at that first fast for the rich, and I lost down to 181.4 pounds. You know what? I lost all of that gain is gone. All of that loss. It's all getting gained back. Why? Because I wasn't diligent. I changed some spiritual habits, yes, but I didn't change some physical habits. I was all too ready to get rid of the Daniel's fast. I was all too ready to go out and eat a piece of pepperoni pizza and have some hot, spicy foods. And I was all too ready to just pour a nice, big, tall glass of ice-cold Mountain Dew. I was all too ready to have a root beer float with some ice cream. I was all too ready for all of that. So all of that gain has been lost, but yet we did that. Some of us, we've done that spiritually. Everything that has been gained, we've allowed that clutter to come back into our lives. I really believe God is just saying, church, I know schedule can be busy. I know life can be busy. Church, let's tonight, let's just come to this altar. Let's just come to this altar and say, God, I've let some clutter back in. That room that was so nice and clean, that garage that I used to be so proud I could eat off the floor. I've let all of that clutter, I've lost some of the ground that I gained. And if we're going to keep growing in God, if we're going to keep going in God, if we're going to keep, if we expect to get to the next dimension and stay there, if we expect to stay and go from level to level, we got to lighten our load some. We got to continue to be in a process of searching our heart and our soul. So church tonight, let's just reach out and say, God, whatever it is, God, show me, Lord. Whatever it is in my heart, whatever it is, God, just show me, God. Just reveal to me, God.
I see broken. But you see beautiful, and you're helping me to believe that you're restoring peace by me. There's nothing to
show you.
You've washed me in mercy.
God reveal to you.
I am
free. Oh, yes. What a great God. What a great God.
I see shadows.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
And you're helping me to believe that you're restoring peace by peace. There's nothing to change.
What a great God. Jesus can take the sin away. Only Jesus can clean up your heart. Yes, Lord. Only His blood can erase sin.